Good morning, everyone. It's our prayer that as you listen to God's word today, your hearts will be opened and that your souls will be fed by the bread, by the living bread that comes from the word. As you all know, we are doing a sermon series on the topic celebrating Christ. The first month of 2015, we have preached in this pulpit the reasons why we need to glorify the name of Jesus. We've talked about the prophecies, credentials, claims, and accomplishments of this person we call Christ. We talked about the journey of Christ. We talked about the finished work of Christ. As you may recall, you know, the famous line, "You complete me." Then we talked about the effect of Jesus Christ's finished work. Then the assurance of salvation. And last week, Lester talked about the presence of Christ in our lives. Today, I am begging the word of the Lord to be clear to you as I proclaim Christ's exalted state as my bridegroom, as your bridegroom as well. As you all know, you probably noticed that we have a lot of youth participating in this worship service because the fourth Sunday of every month is designated for our youth. We realize, the leadership of the church realize that the youth is an integral part of First Philippine Baptist Church. So we have allotted the fourth Sunday of every month to be our youth Sunday. So while this message is designed for our youth, it is my prayer that the gayuts or the not-so-young ones will also listen to what the Lord will be telling us this day. If you have your Bibles with you, our preaching for today will be coming from the book of Matthew, first gospel of the New Testament, Matthew 25. I'll be reading from the New International Version, verses 1 to 13. Shall we all rise in honor of God's word? A parable, the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. Breathe into your word, Holy Spirit. And Father, convict our hearts, Lord, as we listen to what you have to say this morning. To you be the glory. May you be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. You may all be seated. Christ, my bridegroom. Some 16 years ago, I got married on December 5, 1998. This is the same national costume that I used 16 years ago. As you can see, there are stains here, here, almost everywhere now. It's been 16 years, and I managed to keep this Barong Tagalog or the Philippine national costume for men because it's a reminder of how the Lord has blessed me and my wife for the last 16 years of our married life. It's not an easy way. It's not not every single day is a lovely day for both of us. The stains in this Barong Tagalog are also, it symbolizes the stains that we have all throughout those 16 years. And you wouldn't believe this, but I would probably make you laugh in some of my sermons and preachings here, but you know, my wife is not that easy to convince when it comes to me preaching to her. As always, she does not have any much of a choice whenever I would choose to use her in my preaching. So this is my way of getting back to her. December 5, 1998, I woke up with great anticipation. As soon as I opened my eyes and took my first deep breath for the day, my heart started racing like crazy. Said a short prayer and committed that day to the Lord. This day was like no other. A snapshot of one particular moment will always be in my heart for the rest of my life. I saw her. She alighted from the car, wearing this pristine white gown that is worth 2 months of my salary. We have been debating whether it was too fancy and luxurious for a gown that would only be worn, not even for a day, but maybe 3 hours or so. A bouquet of flowers in her hands. She was immediately surrounded by people excited to greet and see her. Finally, the wedding planner gave the cue that the ceremony was about to start. The crowd cleared. And this time around, I was able to glance at her. Then the music began to play. I really wish I could sing right now, but I had sore throat when I woke up this morning. But listen. The only words I can utter when I look at her is OMG. Oh my goodness. My goodness. I cannot believe that this is the girl, the lady, the woman that I used to HHWW pa SS pa along the chilly hills of Tagaytay. You know what HHWW pa SS pa? Holding hands while walking, pa sway sway pa. That is our way. In my generation, some, I don't know, 20 years ago, it's a show of PDA, public display of affection. That's how we are back then. I couldn't believe it. Right before my very eyes, this lovely lady. Now all the wedding preparations, the money we spent for the occasion is all worth it. Somehow it came to my senses what my BFF said, my best friend forever. Pare! YOLO! YOLO! What's YOLO? You only live once, so do it! Now I'm using YOLO here in a positive way, because in this generation, they say YOLO, you only live once, so you might as well do drugs, do this, do that. That's not the YOLO I want you all to remember. You only live once, so you live it for Christ. You live it for your Lord. That's the way we should look at life. YOLO, you only live once. Why don't you live it right for your God, for your Master, for your Lord? And so she walked down the aisle, her eyes beaming in radiance. Her engaging smile could launch a thousand ships. Her pretty face beyond the beauty that was Greece and the grandeur that was Rome. Trying to marry this guy that in my description, the face that only a mother could love. Now you all can see what got her to fall in love with me. My father-in-law handed her to me and shook my hand, tears welling up from his eyes as well. Now this time around, I'm not sure if the tears are due to the occasion or to the fact that she is leaving her daughter under my guard. LOL. Laugh out loud. That's what it meant. The whole wedding ceremony is full of emotions, excitement, and happy moments. It marks the beginning of something more beautiful, something more profound. This is how it feels to be a great bridegroom. Christ, my bridegroom. That's just a foretaste. Unlike the traditional weddings of today, where the bridal march plays, here comes the bride, 3 months inside. That's how it is nowadays. They get married, they get knocked up first before they get married, and so they decide to get married anyway. Now, for your information, one leading causes of poverty here in the United States is because our kids get pregnant at an early age. And here in this church, in as much as we want to hold on to this youth, you know, it's all up to you when you all get out there, when you all have your college life and everything. But it is our prayer. It is our prayer. Wednesday after Wednesday, that our youth would remember the word of the Lord, that they would always be reminded of the hard works their parents have invested on them. Instead of here comes the bride 3 months inside, when it should have been here comes the bride dressed all in light. Teach our youth purity. They have to know what is purity. And on top of that, you teach them sex education. Don't let them learn the bees and the flowers from somebody else. As mothers and fathers, we should be the one teaching them the right stuff. However, the marriage of Christ to his church or bride is very different. Instead of the bride walking down the aisle to the bridegroom, Christ will come for us, his bride. To me, this feels more like a betrothal, such as in biblical story of Isaac and Rebecca. Christ will come from afar to seek out his bride and bring her to his home, where they are joined in marriage, that is, in the sweet and everlasting communion of being in the presence of God. Don't you think our God deserves an LLTA? Lots and lots of thunderous applause. That is our God. Jesus Christ is my bridegroom. Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. There are references in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, affirming the fact that God is indeed our bridegroom. Let us look into the truth that is the word of God, so that you will not think that I made this up. Even way back Old Testament times, there has been prophecies about this great feast. Isaiah 54:5, reading from the New International Version, starting at verse 5, it says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Your maker is your husband." Now, I would take this promise as well if I'm a single mom or a single dad or a widow or I'm a mother or my husband goes to a faraway land to, you know, earn something for the family. I would just get this promise from the Bible and claim it every time I pray that the Lord, my maker, is also my husband. Hosea 2:14 to 19. Starting on verse 14, therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the alley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. Those are two passages from the Old Testament that described God as our bridegroom. So we often hear the word betrothal when we talk about weddings or marriage. What is a betrothal? It is an engagement. Or betrothal is a promise to wed. And also the period of time between a marriage proposal and a marriage, which may be lengthy or trivial. During this period, a couple is said to be betrothed, intended, engaged to be married, or simply engaged. Now, looking into the New Testament, we see in John 3, 28 to 30, beginning on verse 28, you yourselves can testify that I said, this is John the Baptist talking, I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. Also in Revelations 19:6-9, this is a different John. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. So if we're all saying that Christ is our bridegroom and there's a big feast coming up when he comes back, so how do we prepare for the greatest wedding ever? First, we need to establish that relationship with the bridegroom. Jesus Christ will one day return and will marry his church. If you are not part of his church, then you are not invited to the wedding. Only those who know the bridegroom can come to the wedding. That personal relationship needs to be established first. Now, when we talk about his church, I am not just referring to First Philippine Baptist Church, though I believe with all my heart that this is his church as well. The church here is the body of believers who have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you are not yet sure at this point whether you have done that, this is the time of your betrothal. This is the time for you to be engaged with Christ. It will be our highest gratitude and honor to introduce you to the bridegroom if you have not done this. The Lord himself said in Matthew 25:12, in the passage that we read earlier, truly I don't know you. These are the exact same words he will say for those who did not accept him as Savior and Lord. These are terrifying words at the end of the age when Jesus comes back. Imagine him telling you, "I never knew you. You were part of the church, one of the 10 virgins, not part of the world. You had lamps, you had religion, you had form, but you took no care for what was inside. You carried the lamp, you kept it shiny. Others looked at you and assumed that you had life, that you had faith, that you had inner reality. And all you had was an empty lamp. And now you are about to face the one who sees right through your lamp and says, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" You don't want to hear those words. Many will. But church, you don't have to. You don't have to. Secondly, in preparation for this great wedding banquet, we all need to be faithful to him, our bridegroom. The bridegroom expects us to be diligent and faithful in our engagements. Remember that we are betrothed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we have to be faithful in waiting. Notice in verse 5 of Matthew 25, it says, "As the bridegroom was delayed or a long time in coming, they all became drowsy and slept." Notice two things. Jesus gave us advance warning that his coming would be delayed. This has been a stumbling block for 2,000 years. The Apostle Peter dealt with it already in his second letter, 2 Peter 3, 3-9. It says, "Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Then notice, secondly, that it's not foolish to sleep. All 10 slept, not just the foolish ones. This is not sleeping on the job of life. Sleeping is part of the job. What sleeping signifies in this parable is simply the ordinary activities of life. We are not called to go up on a mountain and gaze idly into the sky as we wait for Jesus. We are called to do our work, then rest, then do some more work. Blessed is the servant whom the master finds doing his work when he comes. All 10 slept because sleep is part of the normal rhythm of life that we should follow as we work and rest and wait for Jesus. In the same passage in verses 8 to 9, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, you go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And then they asked the impossible, 'Give us from your oil.'" The fact that the 5 wise virgins won't give them any oil is not meant to teach selfishness. It's meant to teach the impossibility of borrowing faith. It's meant to teach the impossibility of borrowing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The impossibility of borrowing obedience and faithfulness. It's too late. What the wise virgins mean when they say in verse 9, "There won't be enough for both of us, go buy your own oil," is this: we can't have faith for you and for us. We can't have inner spiritual life for you and for us. We can't give you obedience and the faithful use of God-appointed means. If you neglect them in this lifetime, we can't create them for you. each one bears his own load. So in desperation, the foolish virgins who wasted their lives run for the impossible. And this is what a lot of people are doing nowadays. Run for the impossible. They want instant end time disobedience. Instant end time faith. To our dear youths, the faith of your mothers and your fathers are their faith. Their faith will not answer for your salvation. If you are used to your parents coming to your aid all the time, when it comes to your salvation, you are on your own. Your father could be a minister or elder of this church, but not even him can rescue you from hell. Oh, hell no. Your nanay and tatay cannot cover your behind all the time. You slept late in a school day, watching your YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, playing video games, chatting to your friends in Skype or doing Facebook. Then you rush your way to school trying to catch that bus in time. But no, you were this close, but the bus took off already. Man, sounds familiar. So you woke up your mom and dad, who, by the way, is trying to catch much-needed sleep as they got tired working, trying to provide for your needs, to drive you to school. Once again, daddy to the rescue. Mama does the unfinished homeworks. Mama brings the book and notes you forgot at the kitchen table to school, as they are due for submission. But you forgot to grab them on your way, as you forgot that you are also wearing a different pair of socks. And then daddy finishes the science project. Came back home saying, "Hey, look, I get an A in my science project." I should have snatched that and said, "That's my A. I'm the one who did that for you." Nanay talks to your teacher to give you a second chance to straighten your failing grades. Mommy reminds you to brush your teeth before you go to church. Before you go to school, you have a lot of friends there, so brush your teeth. You know, that brace cost about $5,000. Look at my crooked teeth. I don't even have money to have this thing fixed. Please, take a bath. Because there's an odor emanating from somewhere. I cannot understand. This whole room stinks. Wear some colognes. Bring your jacket. Pick up your dirty clothes. And put it in the laundry bin. And this is the funny thing. I cannot help but laugh. Your mom or your dad reminds you. Ask you questions like, "Have you changed your underwear today?" What in the world? I can personally tell you that kids today are like snakes. They leave their dirty clothes like snakes, leave their old skin during seasons of hibernation. Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday. Let me tell you my knee sock story. When I was in elementary, my mom couldn't afford me to send to a private school. But then she insisted that I attend a private school because public education back home is not that good. So she makes night into days just so we can, you know, send somebody to like a nice school such as Philippine Christian University. And she can only afford to buy me two pair of socks. And she said, "Here's what you're going to do. You wear one on Monday. As soon as you get home, you wash your pair of socks, let it dry, so that Tuesday you have something to use, and then by Wednesday it's already dried up. You can use it, right?" We don't have the comfort of those washing machines and dryers here that you just drop it there, zoop, 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 take it out, put it there, zoop, 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 zoop. Oh, it's dry, you can wear it. You even have to iron it. You just pagpag it and, you know, it's good to go. So I have two pairs of socks. And I don't know, for those of you who lived in my generation in the Philippines, there's a basketball player by the name of Samboy Lim. He wears, every time he plays in the court, you would notice that he wears like knee-high socks up to this high with so short shorts. But the knee socks are high. So that's the same pair of socks I use. But then every time I come back from school, you know, I don't know. Maybe I would just forget to wash the socks, or just too lazy to do that because, you know, I'm more preoccupied with playing and, you know, playing Sikyo, playing, you know, those games back home in the Philippines. So at night, now I would remember, oh, I forgot to wash my socks. So I would try to rush and wash it in the middle of the night. You know, you put it in a clothesline and wait. Hopefully it won't rain the following day so you can use it by Wednesday. But then there was an instance that I totally forgot. It's Wednesday already. And I found my pair of socks not washed. So what I did, I look at it. Okay, well, up to this part, it's dirty. But from here to here, it looks clean. So I wore it, folded it, all the way here. And the knee sock went below the knee sock. And here comes Thursday. I forgot again to wash the pair of socks that I have. Okay, well, I can still manage to just roll it here. And went down up here, a little above the ankle. As I went to school, you know, I'm short, and my last name starts in letter B, so I get to sit in the front. My teacher said, today we'll be talking about personal hygiene. So let's get a volunteer up here in this table to show us how to wash their feet. You, Belarga, come here. Oh my goodness. As soon as I took off those pair of shoes, it flung like 1, 2, 3. It says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But again, our dear youth, you must own your faith. You have to own this faith. You yourselves must experience the God we preach here Sunday after Sunday, so that you can see Him as your bridegroom as well. In this generation of instant gratification, there is no such thing as instant end time faith. There is no such thing as instant end time obedience. We have to be faithful while we wait for the Lord. Faithful in watching. Verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch does not mean look out the window at night. It does not mean go up on a mountain and wait. Even the wise virgin slept when it was time to sleep. Watch means be spiritually awake. Be alive and alert to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that He gives you now. Use all the means God has given you to know Him and love Him and trust Him. Be filled with the oil of faith, oil of joy, and oil of hope. Let this thought govern your life. Jesus Christ came to betroth a people to Himself at the price of His own blood. If I am a part of that betrothed people by faith in Jesus, He will come to me and all who believe Him and say, come, O faithful bride, enter into my gardens and into my chambers and learn how for eternity what the dim shadows of earthly pleasures were all about. In every wedding, there's a wedding vow. I remember telling my wife that we should have a unique wedding vow. Something that is not so fancy, but something that is deep. So my wedding vow to her is like the one that we got from the book of Ruth. This one is the promise that Ruth told her mother-in-law. You know, I will go wherever you go. Where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. It's a wedding vow that, you know, we seriously take 16 years after. We go through a lot, problems, difficulties, but the word of the Lord has kept us strong all through those years. And it's the same word of the Lord that will keep us patiently waiting for Christ, our bridegroom. I would think that the bridegroom himself will have a wedding vow before us as he presents the ring for his church. It would probably go something like this. Take this body and blood of mine shed for you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. My great love for you is not consumed, for my compassions will never fail. They will be new every morning that we are together. I will be faithful to you. And yes, even if a mother forgets the baby at her breast and lose her love on the child she has born, though she may forget, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Surely goodness and love shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will live with me forever. This is the word of the Lord. Prepare to meet your bridegroom.